Hey everyone, welcome back to another exhilarating episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, joined by the ever-opinionated Core.
Ever-opinionated? I'll take that as a compliment, Jack. And hey all, glad to have you with us. Buckle up, because today we're diving into some juicy topics around AI ethics, Elon Musk's latest venture, and that big Web 3.0 move. Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about.
Exactly. Before jumping in, a big shout out to our listeners. Your feedback from last episode was awesome. Keep those thoughts coming. We love hearing from you.
Absolutely. All right, Jack, let's kick things off. Let's start with AI ethics. There's a lot of buzz about the new AI regulations proposed in Europe. Are they too restrictive or just what we need?
It's going to be a hot debate. But first, let's address the funny side of technology. Remember that AI karaoke bot that went viral last week? What the heck was that?
Oh my gosh, that thing was a masterpiece of cringe. It's like someone tried to combine Siri with a tone-deaf duck, and the results were legendary.
And we need it at our next party, clearly.
Can't wait. Moving on to more serious matters. Elon Musk's not-so-secret new project. He's taking us to Mars. Or is it something different this time?
Mars is so last year, Core. We're talking Neuralink's progress and those one step closer to becoming cyborgs vibes.
Well, count me out of getting a chip in my brain, unless it helps me make this podcast more savage.
Insert witty comment here.
Nailed it. And finally, let's talk about the Web 3.0 revolution. How do you think this decentralized future is going to reshape everything?
Drastically. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. First, we need to break down what Web 3.0 means in practical terms, staying clear of the buzzwords for our listeners.
Amen to that. So folks, hang tight. We've got a killer show lined up for you today. Now, before we dive deep, quick message from our sponsor. Just kidding, we wish.
Stay tuned, everyone. It's AI Unchained time. Let's unleash the conversation. You know, Core, what Prince said about AI being a platform shift like moving from desktop to mobile really hits the mark. I mean, think about how those shifts fundamentally changed our interaction with technology. Now, AI is evolving the way we consume information, automating tasks, even how we socialize online. It's revolutionary.
Absolutely, Jack. The transformation is happening so quickly that I think a lot of folks are just trying to keep up. Take Bluesky, for example. Here they are, not really integrating crypto into their social network, yet they've managed to raise $100 million in Series B funding. That's astonishing, considering the current cautious environment of tech investments.
Right? And it's interesting because you'd think the crypto-oriented VC participation might cause some concern among users. It's a delicate balance. People love decentralization and innovative approaches, but the moment crypto is involved, there's an aura of caution. Yet Bluesky is focusing on an open and distributed social media platform rather than jumping straight into crypto, which is actually quite smart.
And you know what's fascinating? Bluesky's reluctance to use the term Web3 because of its strong association with cryptocurrency. It shows they're trying to break new ground and not just follow the buzzwords. They seem to be all about making social media more transparent and distributed. That's pretty progressive, in my opinion.
Totally. And speaking of progressive moves, let's pivot to the SEC's recent stance on crypto regulation. It's fascinating how they're moving away from the regulation by enforcement approach. This new framework, particularly the memorandum with the CFTC, could bring much-needed clarity. It feels like we're finally setting up a proper legal foundation for digital assets.
A massive step forward indeed. The interpretation that most cryptocurrencies are not classified as securities under federal law, that's a game changer. It gives the CFTC more authority, perhaps aligning more of the crypto space with commodity regulations. This can really help stabilize the industry and build investor confidence.
Exactly. And the timing couldn't be more perfect with the Clarity Act working its way through Congress. If it passes, the structure and regulatory oversight could transform how cryptocurrencies are monitored and managed in the U.S. It's a crucial step, especially with the continuous emergence of new tokens and crypto products.
No doubt. And speaking of tokens, did you hear about Bitcoin's latest volatility? Dropping below $69,000 and the subsequent futures market sell-off, it's like we're on a roller coaster. But then again, with BTC, it's always a wild ride. Everyone's wondering if this is just another correction or something more substantial.
Oh man, Bitcoin is always making headlines. It's fascinating to see how leveraged traders impact the price movements. The spot demand fades, but futures set the trend. It's an intricate dance of market dynamics, and those funding rates, they provide insights into market sentiment that are just invaluable.
For sure. And don't get me started on the class action lawsuit against Uniswap Labs. It's a perfect example of the legal intricacies in the crypto space. The dismissal of the case really underscores the challenges of holding developers accountable for decentralized platforms.
Indeed. Blockchain inherently offers transparency, but it doesn't absolve the need for governance and risk management. And then there's this ongoing debate about AI's role in all this. Companies like Zero Biometrics are bringing in products to cryptographically bind humans and AI agents. The future of AI governance is looking more nuanced than ever.
They're really pushing the boundaries, and not just in business, but across communities and applications, like Alibaba aiming to hit $100 billion in cloud and AI revenue. It's ambitious, but given how China embraces tech, it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Well, if anyone can pull it off, Alibaba can. They've consistently shown they can trailblaze in tech. On the flip side, it makes you wonder about the implications of such rapid advancements. How do we keep up, especially in terms of regulation, security, and ethics?
That's the trillion-dollar question. Balancing innovation with responsible development is a thin line we have to walk. The more we advance, the more cautious we need to become. Yet, there's no stopping this train. It's an exciting space to watch and be a part of.
And with that, the only thing we can really do is stay informed, stay involved, and continue these discussions, right? It's all about understanding and adapting as the landscape evolves.
Exactly, Jack. We're in a front row seat to some of the most significant technological shifts of our time. And if we can decode it all for our listeners, we're doing our job right.
Cheers to that. Let's keep this conversation rolling. All right, let's dive into the latest tech developments. I gotta say, Cor, this announcement from Astral about joining OpenAI's Codex team has got me really intrigued. We're seeing open source at the forefront of AI advancements again. What's your take on this move?
Oh, totally, Jack. This is huge. Astral has always been about transparency and community engagement with their open source tools. By teaming up with OpenAI, they're just supercharging their efforts. I mean, think about it. Combining the strengths of Codex with Astral's expertise could revolutionize the way software development is done.
I agree. It's like they're putting these powerful tools right into the hands of developers. Especially with the pace at which AI is evolving, having more accessible, integrated tools can turbocharge innovation. Plus, Codex is already pretty impressive at translating natural language into code. I can only imagine where it will go from here with Astral's input.
Yeah, and it's all about making programming more productive. Codex is already doing some heavy lifting by generating code, but integrating Astral's tools could mean fewer bugs and faster development cycles. It's like cutting down the time between having an idea and bringing it to life.
And speaking of speeding things up, Google's move to tighten security on Android apps by 2026 is another big one. Restricting sideloading with developer verification might be contentious, but they're also giving power users the ability to skip app verification. What are your thoughts on this balance?
Ah, Google's walking a tightrope here. On one hand, securing the app ecosystem against malware is crucial. But on the other hand, developers and power users want that flexibility. The advanced flow settings sounds like a decent compromise. It respects both the need for security and the needs of more advanced users.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there will be some backlash from the developer community. But ultimately, it's about protecting users. And let's be real, no one enjoys dealing with malware. If restricting sideloading helps eliminate that risk, it could be worth the trade-off.
True, true. And that brings us to Waymo's crash statistics. They're claiming to have 71% fewer airbag deployments in vehicle crashes compared to human-driven benchmarks. That's impressive. But I wonder if these stats are enough to convince the general public to trust AI-driven cars.
That's the million-dollar question, Cor. While these numbers are promising, getting people to trust self-driving technology involves more than just statistics. I think Waymo's transparency is key here. They need to keep showing results and educating the public on how these systems work.
Absolutely. And these simulations they're doing, comparing crash rates and driving miles, are crucial. if they can show consistent improvements and maintain transparency, it could really shift public perception.
Definitely. Switching gears, have you seen the latest moves by Cloudflare? The CEO, Matthew Prince, mentioned that AI bot traffic will exceed human traffic by 2027. That's wild. How do you think this will change the internet landscape?
It's fascinating and a bit scary at the same time. AI bots increasingly dominating traffic means websites will need robust infrastructure to handle the load. Plus, the rise of sandboxes for AI agents, as Prince mentioned, will be essential to manage and secure this traffic.
Yeah, managing AI bots effectively will be key, but it also opens up a huge market for companies like Cloudflare that specialize in keeping websites safe and fast. This growth in AI bot traffic is just another layer of complexity added to the web.
Right, and let's not forget about the potential for AI in handling more advanced tasks, like what Meta is working on. They're rolling out AI systems to manage content enforcement, reducing reliance on human moderators. The results so far have been pretty impressive, detecting more violations with greater accuracy.
Meta's approach definitely showcases the practical applications of AI. By improving the way they handle harmful content, they're not just making the internet safer, but also more efficient. And it's another example of AI taking on tasks that require significant accuracy and speed.
And on the flip side, you've got companies like DoorDash and Uber tapping into their workforce to gather data for training AI models. It's a nuanced way to improve AI systems by leveraging real-world data. But it blurs the line between employment and data generation.
True. It's a clever strategy, but it does raise ethical questions. Are these workers being fairly compensated for the extra data they generate? It's something that needs careful consideration as AI continues to pervade various industries.
Agreed. It's all interconnected. With these rapid advancements, ethical frameworks need to evolve just as quickly to ensure fair treatment and transparency across the board.
Absolutely, Cor. The interplay between tech, ethics, and regulation is shaping the way we move forward. Can't wait to see where we'll be in just a few more years.
Indeed, Jack. Here's to hoping that we navigate these changes wisely and ensure that AI remains a powerful tool for good. Cheers to the future.
Cheers to that, Cor. So, Cor, let's dig into the idea of semantic functions in code bases. These functions are supposed to be these fundamental building blocks, right? The whole concept is to make each function just do one small, well-defined task and do it correctly. But how simple are we talking here?
Exactly. We need to focus on making these functions as minimalistic as possible. It's like the old saying, do one thing and do it well. A semantic function should, ideally, have everything it needs handed to it as inputs and return all its necessary outputs directly. No hidden dependencies, no extra side effects, just straightforward, predictable behavior.
The challenge, though, is keeping the function names really clear. If a function starts getting more complex, it easily becomes a pragmatic function, where it does more than it was originally supposed to. That's where you see breakage happen because the expectations and actual outcomes start to diverge.
Exactly. Naming is key here. Instead of naming a function for what it does, it's sometimes better to name it based on where or how it's used. This makes future maintenance easier because the next person reading your code won't expect the internals to do something too specific.
It's a bit like leaving breadcrumbs, right? You want to lead the next developer through the logic without surprises. Speaking of, I remember wrestling with a piece of legacy code that had these enormous functions, and the comments around them were like reading a novel.
Oh, those are the worst. Comments are only a necessity when the code itself isn't self-explanatory. Ideally, with well-named semantic functions, you shouldn't need comments because the function names themselves are descriptive.
So, you're suggesting self-documenting code, where the code itself tells the story. That's admirable, but isn't it a bit idealistic?
Absolutely. But remember, the goal is to get as close to that ideal as we can. Realistically, we'll always need some comments, but if we're careful with how we structure and name our functions, we can drastically reduce the need.
And speaking of structure, let's talk about this layer of semantic wrappers. I love the idea of building more complex functionality by wrapping simpler semantic functions. It's almost like Lego blocks. You use smaller pieces to build bigger structures.
Spot on. This approach allows you to define complex behaviors without reinventing the wheel each time. Each block is unit testable, and you end up with these robust, reusable pieces of code that are super easy to debug and extend.
And here's where unit testing becomes crucial, right? When each function is well-defined and minimal, writing tests for them becomes straightforward. If something breaks, you immediately know where to look.
Can't stress that enough. Unit tests are your safety net. They ensure that each building block does exactly what it's supposed to. When these functions remain small and precise, debugging regresses becomes dramatically easier.
Now, we should probably touch on the balance between minimalism and pragmatism. There must be a reason why people drift away from pure semantic functions.
Absolutely. In real-world scenarios, sometimes you need to make functions more pragmatic out of necessity. Maybe there's performance optimization or external constraints which force your hand.
But isn't that where you start very explicitly naming those functions and clearly documenting their usage scope to avoid downstream mishaps?
Exactly. You acknowledge that the function isn't strictly semantic anymore, and you name it in a way that warns others. It's about being mindful and transparent about the trade-offs you're making.
Which brings up an interesting point about development culture. Encouraging best practices like these is more about fostering good habits and a shared understanding among your team.
Couldn't agree more. It's a team sport. Everyone needs to be on the same page about these principles for them to be effective. It's all about building a culture of clarity and correctness.
Before we wrap this segment up, I must share this somewhat tangential yet fascinating real-world use of incomplete semantic recognition, Juggalos' face paint and facial recognition systems. The layout of their makeup fools the AI by creating misleading landmarks.
Yeah, a hilarious yet great example of how important accurate inputs and clearly defined parameters are. If an AI can't properly learn the landmarks, it makes mistakes. Much like our code bases, clarity prevents errors.
That's a brilliant analogy. Nothing like bringing it back to the real world to drive the point home. Thanks, Core. We'll see if our overarching development ethos can adopt more of these best practices.
My pleasure, Jack. Always a blast to dive into these topics with you. Till next time.
So, Core, speaking of this recent legislation around unsafe toys, it brings up a fascinating point about how we regulate the digital world for kids. We've always protected them from physical dangers like unsafe toys or alcohol, yet digital products often get a free pass. What do you think?
Yeah, it's bananas. On one hand, we have these rigorous checks for physical products, but digital products? Not so much. It's almost like, here's a virtual world, have at it. The irony is, some of these digital products probably do more harm in the long run through data privacy issues, excessive screen time, or even harmful content.
Absolutely. And when they say your frustration is the product, they're not kidding. Companies are monetizing our frustrations and attention spans. The whole user interface bit that Eric Schmidt talked about, where UIs might be dynamically generated by AI, that's both fascinating and concerning. It means more personalized manipulation of our digital experiences.
Totally. Imagine algorithms crafting interfaces specifically designed to keep us hooked. I mean, it's one thing to have Netflix suggesting shows, but another to have an AI tweaking everything we interact with in real time to maximize engagement. Facebook already does this to some extent, right? Tailoring feeds to keep us scrolling.
Exactly. And it's a slippery slope. Speaking of which, let's pivot to that hip-hop star making a satirical song after his house was raided. It's a wild story, but it sheds light on how digital tools and media can be used for activism and to challenge authority.
Yeah, lemon pound cake. It's both hilarious and a genius move. Using real footage from his home surveillance to make his point, he flipped the script on the police, using tech against them. And his social media claims, although controversial, raise questions about surveillance, privacy, and truth in the digital age.
Right. And talking about flipping scripts, have you seen how DoorDash is incorporating new tasks into their app? Now, delivery folks are not just delivering. They're getting paid to take pictures of hotel entrances or even closed doors for Waymo's self-driving cars.
That's crazy innovative. It's like the gig economy on steroids. It's not just about delivering food anymore. It's evolving into an all-encompassing job marketplace. But also, isn't it a bit sad that our economy is relying so heavily on these piecemeal gigs rather than stable employment?
It is a mixed bag. On one hand, it offers flexibility and additional income opportunities. On the other, it highlights deeper issues in our job market about the availability and security of traditional employment. And speaking of security, the hacker's statement in that recent digital aggression incident was intense. They're spinning the takedown of their site as proof of the success and impact of their mission.
The art of digital resistance, my friend. They're framing their narrative to maintain moral high ground, and it works. People rally behind the cause, seeing them as digital Robin Hoods. And in terms of resistance, how about Rivian's latest financial hurdles? Spending heavily on autonomy and missing profitability targets? It's a classic startup problem. Burn the capital and hope the tech pays off.
Oh, Rivian! They're in the classic valley of death stage. Their tech's proven, but can they make money at scale? It's a testament to how brutal the road can be from cool tech to profitable business. In this backdrop, the SEC's focus on digital assets regulation adds another layer of challenges for startups. The regulatory landscape is constantly shifting.
Definitely. The SEC's latest stance means that if you're dealing with digital commodities or even collectibles like NFTs, you might be safe for now, but the regulatory axe could drop any time. For investors, it's like navigating a minefield. You don't know what regulations could do to the valuation of these digital assets.
Navigating the regulatory landscape is like trying to hit a moving target. Regulators need to catch up with the rapid pace of technology, and it's endless. Whether it's digital privacy, gig economy laws, or digital asset regulations.
No doubt, just look at the MLB Polymarket partnership. Even sports leagues are getting into the prediction market, mingling traditional domains with cutting-edge tech. It's fascinating, but just another example of how lines are blurring everywhere.
And that, my friend, is precisely why these discussions are so vital. The landscape's changing fast, and we need to stay ahead of the curve. All right, we've covered a lot today, but...
Yes, we have. Let's keep the momentum going on the next segment. This digital age isn't going to stop throwing curveballs anytime soon.
Couldn't agree more. Let's gear up for the next chapter. All right, folks. That about wraps it up for today on AI Unchained. We've covered a lot, from the latest advancements in AI research to the intriguing intersections of technology and politics this month.
Absolutely, Jack. I think one of the key takeaways today is just how exponential the adoption of AI is becoming in every sector. It's not just about innovation in tech, but also how these AI tools are shaping business strategies and political policies globally.
Yep. And let's not forget our lively debate on the ethics of AI and surveillance. Cor, you had some pretty strong opinions there on data privacy.
Oh, don't get me started again, Jack. But it's a serious topic. Balancing innovation with privacy is crucial. And these are the conversations we need to keep having.
And that's why we love getting all your feedback and questions. It really helps us dive deeper into these critical issues. Thanks to our listeners for always engaging with us.
Definitely. A special shout out to our listeners who have been with us from the beginning, and a warm welcome to the new folks tuning in. We couldn't do this without your support.
Remember to follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button on your podcast app to stay updated with our latest episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, leave us a review. It really helps.
Yes, and if you didn't enjoy it, well, try listening again after a good night's sleep. Maybe we'll grow on you.
Until next time, everyone, stay curious and keep questioning.
Thanks for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained valuable insights. See you next time.
Take care, folks.